And I invite you just to, as you keep your scriptures open to 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 12 through 16, I invite you just to bow your head as I pray once more briefly for our time together as we enter into the Word. Let's pray. Gracious Father, I pray this morning that your Spirit would indeed be at work in each one of the hearts of your children this morning. Your Spirit at work through the Word. But I pray that not only that, but that your Spirit would be at work in us as a church family this morning by your Word. That we might be, that Cranbrook Fellowship Baptist Church might be, to the praise of your glorious grace. And I pray this in Christ's name, amen. Scripture is authoritative. Scripture is authoritative. It is authoritative because it is God-breathed, as Paul writes in his epistle to Timothy. It is God-breathed. It is his word. It is God's word. It is authoritative. It is authoritative in all of its genres and all of its writings. It is authoritative when it writes historically in historical narrative. It is authoritative when it writes poetry. It is authoritative when we find prophecy in Scripture. It is authoritative when we read and study and consider this morning the epistles of the New Testament. All of these things, Scripture is authoritative. It is authoritative when it teaches, and therefore, because it is authoritative, those teachings need to be believed. And it is also authoritative when it offers commandments, imperatives. I will be using that word a number of times this morning. Imperatives simply mean commands or commandments. It is authoritative when it offers forth commandments or imperatives. And therefore, those commandments, those imperatives need to be obeyed. Because Scripture is authoritative, it must not only be heard, as hopefully it will be this morning, it must not only be received, as hopefully it will be this morning, but it must be that which we submit ourselves to. It must be obeyed. It must be submitted to. I say all of that because our text this morning in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 12 through 16, a span of only 5 verses, offers up 8, count them, 8 imperatives in those 5 verses. I see immediately all of your heads dropping. And you're counting them, that's great. Let me walk you through them in just a moment or two this morning. Actually, let's do so just now. Let no one despise you. Set the believers an example. Devote yourself to the public reading. Do not neglect. Practice. Immerse yourself. Keep a close watch. Persist. Our text this morning indeed has, in the span of 5 verses, 8, count them, 8 imperatives. Should we not then sit up and take notice when it offers us 8 imperatives? Now, mind you, what you might be saying, and if you are thinking this at least, you are correct in this, and I need to add something to what I just said, because really, each one of these imperatives, and we talked a little bit about this last week, and it is the same this week, each one of these imperatives are offered in what a grammarian would call the second person singular. In other words, these imperatives, these commandments, actually come not directly to us, but to Timothy. These are imperatives, commandments offered up to Pastor Timothy. But surely, and you need to hear me here, But surely as Pastor Timothy builds his pastoral ministry, shapes his pastoral ministry in Ephesus in accordance with what Paul is saying, in submission to these imperatives, surely as Pastor Timothy does so in his pastoral ministry, that it also comes, and these eight imperatives also then come to the church in which he ministers. Surely that is the case, that they come to the church at Ephesus. And more so, even than that, let's extend it further, that they come to us collectively as Fellowship Baptist Church under pastoral ministry also. They come to the church at Ephesus as they come to Pastor Timothy. They come to Cranbrook Fellowship Baptist Church as they come to the pastors and elders of Cranbrook Fellowship Baptist Church. And they come in at least two ways, therefore, to you this morning. Way number one, to the Ephesian church, but also to Cranbrook Fellowship Baptist Church. These commandments come, these imperatives come, because you need to hold me and the other pastors and elders accountable, that we are indeed carrying out our ministry in accordance with these biblical imperatives. But secondly, and this is also crucial this morning, so hear me, these are patterns not only for the pastoral ministry of Pastor Timothy, but they are patterns for the pastoral ministry of each pastor, including myself, including the other pastors slash elders here at Fellowship Baptist Church. They are patterns for our pastoral ministry, and therefore, surely, they are also patterns for the church, that sits under such pastoral ministry. They are patterns, in other words, even as we have named this entire series, they are patterns for life in the household of God. So let's consider these imperatives. Let's launch into our text. And as I say, there are indeed eight imperatives in our text this morning. We begin with the first four. And hopefully you will see my reason by the end of it for breaking it down in this fashion. We consider, first of all, the first four, and they are to be found in verses 12 through 14 this morning. Verses 12 through 14, with the first one coming in verse 12. These again come to Pastor Timothy as imperatives, as a pattern to be followed in his pastoral ministry. They come therefore also to Ephesus as a pattern for sitting under that pastoral ministry. They come to us also. The first two imperatives are found in verse 12 this morning. Not despising, but being an example. No despising, but Pastor Timothy being an example. What does it say specifically there? Verse 12, let no one despise you for your youth, but set the believers an example in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, in purity. Fortunately, or perhaps actually, I must admit a little bit inside of me, unfortunately, I need not be concerned with people despising me for my youth. Those days are long gone. However, it was a problem for Pastor Timothy, as Paul writes to him here. We don't know how old exactly Timothy was, but clearly by comparison to the other elders in that church in Ephesus where Timothy is carrying out his ministry, in comparison to the other elders that are there, Timothy would appear to be considerably younger. Some guess that he was maybe even as old as his mid-30s. But nevertheless, he is viewed, perhaps, by the other elders as being somewhat youthful and therefore, perhaps, inexperienced. And therefore, perhaps, lacking in wisdom. and therefore perhaps even undeserving of respect, not only of the other elders, but perhaps as the church body looks at those other elders and then looks at Timothy, undeserving of respect even coming from the church. And so Paul says to Timothy, first of all, don't let them view you that way. And through Timothy, he says to the Ephesian church, don't view him that way. But rather, he says to Timothy, step to the fore, Pastor Timothy, step to the fore and be an example. But set the example, verse 12. Set the believers an example in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, in purity. For, and here is where the weight begins to settle in. Settle in, I know, upon myself, and if I can say so, and I think I can because I know my dear brothers, settle in on Elder Walt, settle in on Elder Coyote, settle in on Pastor Peter, where the weight begins to settle in here, because and for, what is he saying here? He is saying, Paul is saying to these, to Pastor Timothy, and through him to all pastors and elders, that they are to be an example for the flock. As I say, if you are thinking that that is must be a weighty thing, an imposing thing even, for the pastor slash elder, you are absolutely correct. But it says so here. And that weight comes upon, that responsibility comes upon Pastor Timothy and your pastors and elders here at Fellowship Baptist Church. But of course, what did I say at the outset? And where are we also equally directing this sermon this morning? We're equally directing it right at you. Because once again, as through these imperatives, the Apostle Paul sets a pattern for Pastor Timothy and all pastors' pastoral ministry, he also sets a pattern for those who are under such pastoral ministry. And the implication comes. The pattern is set for them also. The implications come to the church under that ministry. And the implication here for the Ephesian church, and the implication here, if you will allow me, for Cranbrook Fellowship Baptist Church is as follows, that you are to follow that example, that you are to come in under that example, that you are to look to the pastors and elders in that way. Is that a difficult thing for me to say? Well, it is, just as it was back in Hebrews 13:17 a few months ago. Look back at that verse. It is difficult for me to preach this morning, but preach it I must, because here it is, that the pastor's elders ought to be setting an example, and the church, sitting under that pastoral ministry, needs to follow that example, needs to look to the pastors and elders in that way. And that also is a weighty thing, perhaps. That also is perhaps not an easy thing, particularly in our individualistic culture, which tends to reject authorities. The next imperative, I must move on. The next imperative for Timothy's, Pastor Timothy's pastoral ministry comes in verse 13. Devote yourself to, he says in verse 13, or as the New King James Version puts it, give attention to. Devote yourself to what? Give attention to what? Let's read it. Until I come, devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture, to exhortation, to teaching. To the public reading of Scripture, to exhortation, to teaching. This imperative comes to Pastor Timothy and guides and gives a pattern for his pastoral ministry such that he understands that amongst all of his pastoral ministry, amongst all of what is represented there, amongst all of the responsibilities, and there are many in pastoral ministry. It comes to Pastor Timothy, and I believe it comes to us, and pastors and elders in each church, in every church, that those pastors and elders need to devote themselves foremost among all of those things to the proclamation of God's word, to the ministry of the word. And that ministry includes, of course, even as we have done this morning, for that reason, and have due every week for that reason, the public reading of his word, first of all, but also exhortation and teaching, the exhorting of fellow believers in their Christian walk, and teaching and instructing in doctrine and the teachings and doctrines of Scripture. And by the way, and this is actually not an aside, but hear me, it is not surprising, I find it not at all surprising, and you should not find it surprising, that those two things go very much together and are listed very much together here in the latter part of Paul's imperative to Timothy, that he is to devote himself to the public reading of Scripture, but also to exhortation and to teaching. For it is very much the pattern for Paul as he is writing epistles to do that very thing. Reflect upon the epistles of Paul, particularly to the epistles that he writes to churches, Galatians, Ephesians, Colossians, Corinthians, Romans. Wherever Paul writes, he tends to write very much in this fashion, that the first half or the first major section of the book, often taking up at least half of the book, is first of all spent entirely in doctrine. In doctrine, in teachings, in doctrine. And then and only then does Paul in his epistles turn to the exhortation, turn to speaking to the specific situation and problem there might be in that church, or offering up exhortations of all sorts to the believers there. But he never launches forward, first of all, with exhortation. And here in 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 13, as he gives these imperatives for Timothy and this third imperative for Timothy in verse 13, he says, devote yourself not only to the public reading of Scripture, but to exhortation and teaching. And in Paul's ministry, that is actually always teaching and exhortation. And that is my point. That these two must always come together, always be preached together, and they must always be preached, or at least the pattern, general pattern is, for there to be doctrine, and once that doctrine is established, then Paul leads on to exhortation. So we ought not to be surprised that the imperative comes in this fashion. This is Paul's imperative to Pastor Timothy regarding his pastoral ministry. This is Paul's imperative to pastors for their pastoral ministry. And hear me, since September the 1st of 2018 until now, and on as long as the Lord permits me, that is my desire, first and foremost, for my ministry, and for the other pastors and elders here, for our ministry at Cranbrook Fellowship Baptist Church. Indeed, it is my desire for Cranbrook Fellowship Baptist Church that we be a church that is always entirely centered on God's word. That if we are faithfully proclaiming God's word, if we are indeed teaching and exhorting, reading and then teaching and exhorting fellow believers, always from God's word. If we are doing that, and if, remember my introduction, my important introduction, and this is where it comes to you, and if we are submitting ourselves to God's word, under the preaching, under the exhortation, under the teaching, if we are doing so as a church, if we are submitting to God's word, then everything else will follow from that. Everything else will follow from that. What will follow from that? Everything else. If we put foremost in our ministry, the proclamation of God's word. There's the third imperative. And now we move on to the fourth imperative of Paul to Timothy here in chapter 4. And this comes in verse 14. Do not neglect. Do not neglect, he says. Verse 14, do not neglect the gift you have, which was given you by prophecy when the council of elders laid their hands on you. We don't know all the details of what Paul is speaking of here. This gift that Timothy received, which you have, which was given you by prophecy, accompanied by, with the laying on of hands of the council of elders. We don't know exactly when that occurred. We don't know the event that Paul is referring to. Some surmise it was back in Acts 16 when Paul, first of all, pulled alongside Timothy, young Timothy, to be part of his missionary ministry. Some suggest it's back there. Others suggest, and I tend to think, for whatever it's worth, what I think, I tend to think that the way Paul is presenting it here, it actually took place when Paul is leaving chapter 1, and I think it's verse 3, chapter 1 of 1 Timothy, and I think it's verse 3, where Paul refers to the fact that he leaves behind Timothy in Ephesus as he proceeds on himself to Macedonia. And I would suggest that perhaps, or even likely, it occurred there. But we don't know, and it really doesn't matter, nor do we understand fully all that was involved in this laying on of hands, all that was involved in this prophecy. But we do know the following. We do know the following as we simply consider verse 14 here. We do know that Timothy was gifted for ministry. And as we see, listen closely to this, that verse 14 follows verse 13. And as we see in verse 13, Paul referring to the emphasis on the proclamation of God's word, it seems pretty obvious where Timothy's gifting lies. The Timothy, number one, is gifted for pastoral ministry, and he was gifted as a proclaimer of God's word, as a preacher, as a teacher. Number two, what do we see in this verse? We see that this gifting was not a solo sort of thing, not a lone wolf sort of thing on Timothy's part, that rather it was recognized by others, recognized indeed by the elders of the church, the council of elders. Thirdly, and most importantly in what we're looking at this morning, thirdly, and most importantly, we see the imperative, don't neglect that gift, Timothy. Don't neglect your gifting, Timothy, as you pursue that pastoral ministry. I'm not sure what it was, probably about 10 days ago, 2 weeks ago, I can't remember exactly when, but we had a church meeting recently on a recent Thursday evening, and at that church meeting I gave, as is our typical way of doing things, I gave a brief devotional at the outset of that, and I chose to, in light of what we were considering that evening, and not coincidentally, but providentially, now I see in light of what we're talking about this morning, I gave that devotional on from Matthew 25 on the parable of the talents. And that parable, you may recall, you can look it up later, we won't look at it this morning, but just briefly, that parable ends with an individual who is given one talent and chose, rather than to invest that on behalf of his master, to utilize that on behalf of the master, rather he chose to simply bury it in the ground and not utilize it, not invest it. And then the parable ends, and listen to this. It ends with that individual being cast into the outer darkness, in that place where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Paul says, don't neglect your gifting, Timothy. But again, That's the pattern. That's the imperative, setting a pattern for Pastor Timothy's pastoral ministry. But for those sitting under Pastor Timothy's pastoral ministry, and for those sitting under whichever pastoral ministry it is, that as that pastoral ministry seeks to follow these imperatives, even so, we must all submit to that. And here, the implication goes beyond the mere pastor, that rather, there's an implication once again for the church here, that it doesn't stop with a pastor, but rather the church and life in the household of God is to be characterized by this, be characterized by this pattern. The church is to be a place where all have been gifted, and all are not bearing that gift in the sand, but rather utilizing that gift, stewarding that gift for God's glory. That is to be, that's the implication here of life in the household of God. The implication of the pattern of that pastoral ministry, but coming down to all in the church under that pastoral ministry. What have we seen thus far? We've reached the end of these first four implications. And by the way, if you're looking at your watch, the last four will be much quicker. But stay with me. For through Paul's instructions, indeed through the imperatives that he gives to Pastor Timothy here, a picture has emerged for, once again, Paul's vision for Timothy's pastoral ministry. But there's also been a vision, a pattern that needs to play itself out, that is implied here, that needs to play itself out in the life of the church. And we see here again a picture of Paul's vision for not only the Ephesian church, but for Cranbrook Fellowship Baptist Church. And once again, just to review, as we've seen these first four, the life in the household of God is to be lived in this fashion. Life in the household of God, first of all, there the pastors and the elders are need to present themselves as an example to the flock, and equal and parallel with that, that example needs to be readily and eagerly followed and submitted to. Again, I tremble, but I and we submit. In the household of God, the Word of God is central in all that we do, and especially as we gather together. The Word of God is central. It is read, it is proclaimed, it is exhorted, it is taught. But more than that, it is heard, it is received, and it is submitted to. And thirdly, what we saw was that in the household of God, life in the household of God involves gifts that are granted by God to every believer, to every child of God, each one who is trusting in Christ and is Christ in Christ through faith. To each one of those, God has granted a gift. And we see this elsewhere in the New Testament also. And that gift needs to be exercised to the glory of God and for the edification of other believers. Think of the implications of that. Think of the implications of that in terms of how you relate to this body here. This picture, and again, I desire such a ministry as has been laid out. I desire such a ministry for myself, and I desire that Fellowship Baptist Church be such a church also. This picture of pastoral ministry and the accompanying picture of life in the household of God has emerged out of the first four imperatives. And as I said a moment ago, and as you were thinking perhaps a moment ago, but wait a minute, you said there's eight of them. What about the other four? So, in conclusion, and in a relatively brief conclusion, the remaining four. persist in this. My reason for leaving the final four imperatives until the very conclusion, and my reason for taking those final four, and unlike the first four, treating them all as one, really, packaging them together, is, I believe, Paul has already packaged them together. They are really one imperative. They are really one commandment that he gives finally to Pastor Peter. And this final commandment simply, in four commandments, this final commandment in four really just reinforces the previous four. Listen to them now. In verses 15 and 16 now, practice these things. Immerse yourself in them. Keep a close watch. Persist in this. Do you hear how they're all really saying the same thing? Practice these things. Immerse yourself in them. Keep a close watch on yourself. Persist in this. These four are really just one. And what are they saying? They are picking up on and reinforcing the previous four. What were the previous four? Once again, the first two. Be an example. And now Paul adds at the end, and continue to be an example. Persist in that. The third one he offered up before. Devote yourself. Devote yourself to the ministry of the word. And now he comes along and says, and continue in that. Persist in that. Practice that. Immerse yourself in that, Pastor Timothy. Immerse yourself in that, Ephesian Church. Immerse yourself in that, Cranbrook Fellowship Baptist Church. And then finally, in the first four, he said to Pastor Timothy, don't neglect your gift. And now he comes along in the final four and says, persist in it. Not only don't neglect it, but persist in that. Continue to in that. Practice that. Immerse yourself in the working out of that gift in the life and ministry that God has given you to his glory and to the edification, once again, of the saints. Last week, if you can cast your mind back, and I always hesitate to ask you to do so, but if you could cast your mind back to last week, we saw something similar there. We saw something where Paul was writing specifically to Timothy, and he was telling Timothy of the need to train, to exercise, to toil, to strive. Those verbs are there in verses 7 and 10 from last week. But we saw last week that those extended beyond Timothy as a believer to all believers. That the Christian walk is not an easy one. And towards the end of the message, I left you with that warning. That if your walk as a believer is an easy one, there's probably something wrong. Because the Christian walk is not an easy one. We need to exercise last week. We need, Pastor Timothy and we, and believer Timothy, needed to exercise, to train, to toil, to strive. And so does each one of us. Similarly this week, imperatives now are given to Timothy, not just as a believer, but as a pastor, for his pastoral ministry. But they again come to us as a church under such pastoral ministry. The need to persist, the need to continue, the need to practice, the need to immerse, the need to keep a close watch on the ministry. Four, why is this important as we close? Four, and because without that persistence, there is, and hear me, grave danger. Grave danger. Church history is not only littered, and recent history is not only littered with pastors who have failed in this regard and fallen away. But church history and recent history is also littered with churches and even denominations that have fallen away from this. And why is that? Let's take it further. Why is that? It is because the evil one is seeking your destruction. And the evil one this morning, as we consider things as a church body, as a church family, the evil one seeks your destruction. The evil one seeks the destruction of Cranbrook Fellowship Baptist Church. And therefore, pastors and elders, wherever you are, fellow pastors and elders of Cranbrook Fellowship Baptist Church, but also, therefore, Cranbrook Fellowship Baptist Church, practice these things. Immerse yourself in them. Keep a close watch. Take heed. Persist in this. For by doing so, you will save both yourself and your hearers. Let's pray. Gracious Father, we thank you for the calling that you have placed upon our lives, the calling that drew us forth out of darkness into your marvelous light, drew us forth from death unto life, drew us forth to be in Christ through faith. But we thank you also, Father, for the calling that brought us together to be part of the body of Christ, and specifically for us here to be part of a local body, to be part of Cranbrook Fellowship Baptist Church, to live life together in the household of God, to live life together here in Cranbrook Fellowship Baptist Church. And we pray, therefore, Father, we pray as a family together that we would indeed persist together, that we would continue on together, that we would immerse ourselves together in these things and in this sort of ministry, that we would keep close watch, that we would take heed, that we would practice, that we would ever strive, Father. We pray that we would do so as long as our Lord should tarry. And we pray that we would do so faithfully as long as our Lord should tarry, that we may ever be to the praise of his glorious grace. For we pray this in Christ's name, amen.